Three, two, one. Good morning.
Good morning.
That's not what I want. How's it going?
It's going, man.
I don't even need that.
It's toasty and warm out.
It is.
Summertime is in full swing.
It is, and it was hotter than Haiti yesterday.
Yes. Yeah, well, it's not particularly cool today either.
No, but when we went fishing down at Lewis on the Rocks.
Ah, okay.
I love fishing in Lewis on the Rocks because all the people on their boats pull up and they fish like they're fishing off to the rocks in Lewis. It's like, if I got a boat, I'm going somewhere with that boat. I'm not
right.
fishing.
Right, where not right there where you could do it with everybody else.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like, seriously, what the hell is going on here?
That's their comfort zone.
Well, that's where all the fish are, but...
Well, okay, yeah, there's that, too.
I tend to think they're sitting in their boat going, I could really just be on the shore and wouldn't
right.
need a boat.
And I wouldn't have this payment.
Well, they're not big boats.
Oh, well, still.
It's still a payment.
Yeah, it is.
So how you doing, bud?
Pretty good, man. Pretty
Ryan good. Peters, back on the podcast.
Yes, second time.
Well, you went on a huge adventure, so I'm like... And you showed me, and I'm like, well, you got to come back on
I
the
did,
podcast.
Yeah, it was bananas. It was epic.
Well, we're going to talk about it. First, I got to do one little thing because we got a sponsor.
Oh, wow. Cool.
You know who it is?
Who is it?
Urban Float.
Oh, there you go. Carlos.
Well, let me read this real quick. Carlos typed this up. I got to read it. I got to screw this up real quick. Today's podcast is brought to you by Urban Float, the premier flotation therapy spa in the Mid-Atlantic. I asked him to change this a little bit. It's a little wordy, I think.
He's going off the marketing thing.
He's using his IBM brain.
Yes.
Call 302-232-3141 to schedule your first float or use code first time. Have you floated?
I have floated.
All right. Well, we'll talk about that too because I love it.
I've only been once, but there's scientific data behind it from my various
data
recovery
watch.
Things. Yeah, exactly.
Did it work?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It worked really well.
Nice. Use code first time at checkout when you visit urbanfloat.com. Urban Float is located off Route 1 next to Rosenfeld's.
Yeah.
I'd say,
cause yeah,
I
right by the Wawa.
I said, can we shorten this a little bit? Can we just say next to Rosenfeld's? He goes, yeah, that works. So it's next to Rosenfeld's. You float in 1,200 pounds of dissolved Epsom salts, which provide profound health benefits for those who are seeking pain relief, stress management, recovery, or simply want to disconnect from an overconnected world.
True statements all.
That's it. Or go to Bulgaria. Where'd you go?
Romania.
Did you disconnect?
Forcibly, yes. Yes.
I can imagine there wasn't a lot of Wi-Fi there.
No. Actually, it was the opposite.
Great Wi-Fi.
Everywhere I went, I was like 4 to 5 bars of LTE. Real, like way far out in the country, some of these like out of the way places we visited, mm-hmm. it was maybe a few bars of 3G, but there was cell phone reception everywhere.
Do you think like, and this is a guess, I feel like my Wi-Fi, my phone service, everything sucks right now. Do you think that's just because of the amount of people here?
I don't know. I'm spoiled.
What do you have? Just a direct line to
I have
Wi-Fi
so
time?
AT&T gives first responders.
Uh-huh.
There's a special service we can get on
right.
That gives us priority over the network.
Okay.
So, you know, everybody comes in town for July 4th weekend. They're trying to stream it, Facebook it, whatever. And everybody's speeds come
so tumbling
down
because
of the network. Yeah. Then, you know, one of us pulls out our phones and it's fine because
well, I even feel like the Wi-Fi at my house is even a little crummy.
Could be Comcast.
Well, you know what else? Xfinity?
Yeah.
You know what they did and I fell for it? These X1 little cubes that you can put throughout the house that extend your Wi-Fi. And when I used to have Wi-Fi and when I would check my Wi-Fi, it would come up as a 2.4 or like a 5.0.
5 gigahertz, yeah.
So, you know, the 2.4 was for your guests and then the 5 was for, you know, me. Supposedly. But then when I signed up for this X1 and I got these extenders, which you plug in,
mm-hmm.
the 5.0 went away. All that's left now is just the 2.4 because I hate the extenders. I unplugged them. I didn't throw them in the trash, but
2.4 is awful.
Yeah. So, and now that 5.0 is gone. I'm going to have to call and find out what the deal is with that.
Maybe it's all the same network now. I know at our house, so I have Xfinity, but we use this other company's mesh access points to have Wi-Fi throughout the house.
Right.
And the 5.0 and 2.4 gigahertz networks are the same name. It's just which device can, like, cause certain things, like, you know, cause we've got that internet of things now where, right. you know, my light bulbs are connected to the internet. So I can turn on the bedroom lights from here and change the color.
I had that.
Those are like
for the salon.
Yeah. Those are, I think the 2.4 gigahertz signal. Occasionally one of our devices, for whatever reason, like my phone or my old laptop, may it rest in peace. Died in Romania. We'll get to that.
Poor laptop.
Yeah, one of those will be on the 2.4 gigahertz network, and it slows way down.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, everything's on Wi-Fi now.
Yes.
It's insane. Yeah. What are we going to do? Well, and you saw they had that blackout in New York City, that 40-square block.
I did not. Yeah, when did that happen?
It happened, I think, Saturday night.
Oh.
Times Square went down. Rockefeller Center went down. Everything was black.
Sweet. Sounds like a video game.
Yeah, right. So I was like, yeah, then the zombies come out.
Right, exactly. Jesus Christ.
But, yeah, so, I mean, that is a fear one day, you know, if we had ever some sort of weird attack and attacked out our
like that EMP system. Thing?
Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
It's kind of sketchy.
There was a TV show that was something like that.
I'm sure there's been
a few years back, yeah.
So, like I started off with, I ran into you over at the gym.
Yep.
And you just got back from some crazy trip, and you showed me some videos of you on a little scooter. And I actually showed a couple people because I couldn't believe that you went around on this little scooter.
Scooter would be a compliment. I think scooter doesn't actually convey the absurdity of that machine.
Well, it was 50 cc's.
Yes, but I've seen 50 cc's around here that rip up and down the highway at about 45, 50 miles an hour. This thing topped out at 28 at best.
Well, I looked at your Facebook and I saw this like sped, I guess it's a time lapse of you guys coming down the mountain.
Yeah.
I'll try to describe it. It's like a little mini bike with kind of like those little mini, remember the three-wheelers, the ATVs,
yes.
those big balloon kind of tires, but little versions of that.
It's actually wheelbarrow tires. So when one of the flats we got, we figured out, we went at the Romanian version of Home Depot, we figured out that it was the same size tire as a wheelbarrow.
You could use a wheelbarrow tire.
So we went and got an inner tube for a wheelbarrow and
so
you know, away
that,
we went.
Are they bouncy, boing, 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 or are they firm?
They're firm because they're not meant to have grown adults on them.
Okay, so they're under stress.
Yes.
Whose bright idea was this? Just some adventure guy and...
Literally, the company name is called The Adventurists, and they're
the
over...
The Adventurists.
The Adventurists.
Okay.
They're based out of the UK, and for 14, 15 years now, they've been putting on a bunch of random events around the world, rickshaw races across India, Mongol rallies. There's this powered paraglider race they do across countries and continents.
Did you see the video of that bike race down that... icy mountain?
No.
Oh my God.
No.
Well, it was bad. somebody crashed and then they all crashed into them. And it looked like they were going about 75 miles an hour down an icy hill on bikes.
Oof.
It was clearly not in the United States.
No. There's too many safety regulations here.
Yeah. I mean, out of the United States,
we had none of those over in Romania.
Yeah. I can imagine you did not. So I mean, I guess a friend reached out to you and wanted to do it.
Yeah. Buddy of mine, down in North Carolina, just shoots me a text and he's like, "Hey man, are you in for this bike thing?" And I'm like, "What bike thing?" So he sends me this link and I was, you know, it's these people roaming Romania on these little 50cc children's motorcycles. And I'm like, "That's fantastic. I'm in." And I signed up within a day.
Now I'm guessing, you know, right away, I feel like it's just silly. But then I think about it, you know, I mean, does it allow you to see the country a little better?
Yes.
If you're going 65, 75 miles an hour on a regular bike, you would miss a lot of stuff,
you don't
right?
see it, yeah.
So it really puts you in tune with what's going on in your environment on those little
So much so that when I got back, I talked to my wife and my daughter, and I said, in a couple of years, when my daughter's old enough to ride a motorcycle.
That wasn't a motorcycle.
Well, I mean, technically.
That was a scooter.
Technically,
it was a wheelbarrow with a motor.
I was like, we should go back because it was a phenomenal way to see the country. Also, my first experience overseas, so that was terrifying in and of itself.
I bet.
Yeah.
What, flying or just being out of the country?
I've been to Canada a handful of times, but that's just a cleaner version of the U.S. And St. Lucia about 16 years ago when I got married. Other than that, yeah.
Yeah, but were you... I bet you were fine. I bet it was amazing.
It was when I got there, but leading up to it, you know, there's the, oh my God, I'm going to be disconnected. It's a foreign country. Like, I have to travel across the ocean. You know, it's pretty far out of my comfort zone.
Yeah.
But,
without your family.
Without my family. Yeah. You know, you have to go through all the things. Like, here's my master password for everything. I'm writing this down. This is in the safe in case anything happens. Mm-hmm. You know, to just go through those kind of motions and make sure that everything is set. And
did you have the special envelope sealed?
Sealed in case of, yeah. Yeah.
Don't know.
It was just written down on a piece of paper. I was like,
do not open this if I don't die.
Yeah. No.
It's all your secrets.
No. Yeah. So it was. It was an experience.
Yeah, I can imagine. So your buddy reaches out. Let's go for this thing. You check it out. You research it. You had to have the conversation, I suppose.
Yeah, I asked the wife. I was like, you need to go. And she's like, she actually said, she's like, you need to go do this.
You know what? That's a cool thing about her. She's very supportive of you doing things other than spending all your time in the gym.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. That's a great wife, great friend.
That's, you know, 22 years together now.
Yeah. Well, maybe she was, never mind. I'm not even going to hope, and you were going to never come. No. So you reach out, you research it, and then off you go.
Yeah. I mean, there was a bunch more in, what do you pack? You know, you have to think through all of this, you know, and I'm a chronic overthinker.
Well, first of all, how long were you on the trip?
10 days.
10 days on scooters.
A week on scooters. The rest of it, we're just wandering around some border town in northern Romania.
How many days were you there before the
two
adventure
days.
Started?
2 days.
Okay.
Yeah.
Popular city. Where did you fly into?
Cluj-Napoca, which is not a very. I mean,
actually, let me back up. Let me back the plane up.
Okay.
So you took off, and where did you? So what was that journey like? And how? Where did you get to?
So Philly to Frankfurt,
okay,
Germany. Frankfurt to Munich, Germany, and then Munich to Cluj-Napoca.
When you landed in Germany, isn't it strange how different, you know, foreign countries, European countries are compared to the United States?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was, so not only was that different, but you could tell just the people on the plane were different. And I flew Lufthansa, mm-hmm. And
that's
had
a big plane.
Yeah. It was a huge plane. And it was an amazing flight.
Yeah.
Like the staff on there was fantastic. It, of course, there was Xanax on the way out just because if I've got, you know, travel anxiety about that sort of thing. But I'll tell you what, coming home, I didn't take anything.
No,
I was like, these guys are fantastic. I've had a fantastic time. I was like, oh, I'm good. Let's go home.
Yeah. Anytime you take something like that, sometimes it kind of, you miss out on a thing, on some things.
Panic attacks.
Well, I get, you know, I know. It's weird. I get a little panicky just thinking about flying, but once I'm on there, I'm all right.
Yeah. I was like once, and I tend to be, I get all wound up ahead of mm-hmm. the trip.
Yeah.
And then once I'm actually there, I'm fine.
Yeah. Well, do you ever look back and say, geez, you know, if I just stay in the moment?
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah. But again, it's that chronic overthinker. It's what do I have to do? What do I need to bring? Am I going to need this? Am I going to need that? I'm going to be over there. How do I charge my phone? How am I going to do this? You know,
sometimes I try to be real casual about that. Now, I haven't gone to, you know, Frankfurt, Germany, but, you know, just like small trips, I'm like, we'll figure it out. Sometimes it's gotten me in a bit of a pickle before, you know, like I'll forget stuff and I didn't plan very well. So there's two sides of it, but I can imagine just flying to Germany, I would be a little stressed out myself.
Well, and then obviously we wanted to pack light because we've got to strap all this crap to them. I mean, it's not like I can fly in with luggage and leave it there and then come back and get it. So
in one of the pictures, I thought it looked like you had it was a trippy. It was like moving. A wooden steering wheel or something.
No, so on the back, we found some pallet. We sawed the pallet down with a, was it like a Leatherman?
Yeah.
Had like the saw blade. So we cut it down and then zip tied this pallet board across the luggage rack on the back because the luggage rack will maybe hold your cell phone if you're lucky. So we strapped this board across the back and then that's what, you know, we use bungee cords and stuff like that to tie all our luggage to.
Is the point of this trip to just ride on a scooter or is it to like, is there more messages to be learned in this trip? Like minimalizing stuff. Maybe you don't need as much stuff, letting go.
You
know, sometimes they, when they only give you room for like a cell phone or, you know, whatever you would fit on there. Maybe they're saying, hey, maybe you need to let go of some of this stuff. Maybe you don't need to change your underwear every day.
Well, so, and their take on it is...
And I'm just asking.
Yeah, so it's not supported. It's not like I'm going someplace and I'm renting a vehicle and, you know, I'm supported if I run into an issue. They're like, if you have any problems, figure it out.
So it's some growth.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, we had a fuel pump go bad on one of the bikes for one of my friends. And it was a sealed component. It was proprietary to whatever fuel injection system was on there. And the only place we could find it on the internet was Alibaba as part of some $22 fuel injection kit. Mm. Nobody in the country of Romania had one. And they're like, well, figure it out. Adapt something. Nothing would adapt. I mean, it was crazy how, like, super proprietary design. We ended up disassembling the sealed component, figuring out what was wrong with it. It was that it vibrated a wire loose internally, resoldering it, and then plasta welding the thing back together and putting it back in service.
So there's some growth.
Yeah.
This is a real growing kind of trip.
Yeah. Challenges.
So you end up in Frankfurt.
Yep.
Where next?
Munich.
Munich. So you're still in Germany.
Yep.
And then where?
Cluj-Napoca.
So on every stop, does the plane keep getting smaller?
Yes. You know what? No, the plane from Frankfurt to Munich was pretty small.
Okay.
It's like if you've ever flown out of Salisbury before, it was like that size plane.
Propeller?
Yeah. Well, no, they're jets down there now.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah. But it was a 40-minute flight. And then from Munich to Cluj-Napoca was about 2 hours.
Cluj-Napoca.
Cluj.
Cluj
hyphen N-A-P-O-C-A.
Cluj-Napoca.
Cluj-Napoca.
Cluj.
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 Cluj-Napoca.
Napoca. All right. Yeah. Well, I'm just trying to...
According to the border guard that we came across when we were coming back from lunch in the Ukraine one day, that's where the bitches are at.
Oh. Hey-o.
I was like, okay.
Yeah. Not that you asked.
Not that we asked. Well, he was like, where did you fly into? And we're like, Cluj-Napoca. And he was like, oh, yeah, that's where the bitches are at, man.
Oh,
and we're
God.
Like, what? Like, you just don't come across that. Who says that?
Yeah. Well, that's border podcast guards. Version. Probably Cluj-Napoca. You're all high-fiving.
Yeah, exactly.
Just kidding, everybody. So... You finally get to where you're going.
Yeah.
And then you...
Fortunately, three of the four of us, we're on the same plane.
Is that a fire?
Yeah, it is.
Uh-oh. Might have a... Doing a podcast with firemen. Are you good or you got to go?
I'm good. Okay. I'm good. I won't make it down there in time.
All right. Well, look, I don't want any person's lives are in danger because you're on a podcast.
No, it was an automatic alarm. I was like, were it actually something that came across, then yeah, I'd skedaddle.
We'd have to skedaddle. Yeah. Well, so go ahead. I'm sorry. With whatever you were saying.
Oh, I was saying that, so there were four of us and three of us arrove on the same flight. So okay. That was kind of cool. So when we got to the final destination, I was like, okay, here's all my friends. Like, here's the group. We're good.
So what's the weather like there?
It was in the middle of a heat wave. So it was 92, 93 degrees.
God.
Yeah, it was sweltering.
Jesus. They probably don't support that either.
No. No.
No heat support.
No. And then being out in the sun, you know, on these little bikes for hours and hours and hours. I think one day we rode 13 hours.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, 258 kilometers, whatever that works out to in real miles.
That's asking a lot of that little thing.
That's why we broke them.
Because, I mean, I can't imagine you get a brand new one every time they start a new...
No, they cycle through them. So one of our guys got a brand new one. The other three of us had ones that were 1,200 kilometers on them.
Did one of you guys have the faster one?
Yes.
Who?
Yeah, it was one of the older ones. And he could, for whatever reason, coming downhill, he'd pull the clutch in and he'd hit about 60 kilometers per hour.
Wow.
So he'd smoke everybody going down. And smoke is a relative term because it's really not that fast. It was like 34 miles an hour. I could pull mine in and I could get to, you know, maybe 54 kilometers per hour.
Well, but you look like you're riding in some pretty serious terrain. I mean, that
one, we were.
The time lapse you did, looks like, you know, if you took a wrong turn, you could really do some tumbling down a hill.
Yes, that's actually an understatement.
Yeah. You'd fall down, free fall, and then hit the ground.
Yeah, there were some, you know, we stopped. I'd pull over, and I'd just look down. I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't have terrain like that in Delaware.
No, we don't. We don't have.
There was a, what was it? I think it was a 6,000-foot climb on that mountain from where we started to the
6,000 foot. You climbed that?
Well, I mean,
was that you guys coming down the backside, or was that you coming back down?
Coming back down.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it was like each day broken up into like a Tour de France, you know, like you had a certain stage, you know,
or
did you just go as far as you can? I mean, were you sleeping out in the wild?
No, we stayed in pensiones, which are kind of like little inns where you get private bedrooms and that have their own bathrooms and stuff. And, you know, they varied in quality as well. So we just kind of the night before, we're like, what do we want to see tomorrow? Where's our goal? What are we going to do? And we had a general idea of the route that we had plotted out, but, you know, things break down, then you've got to adapt. Okay, instead of going another hour and a half, we have a flat tire, it's starting to get dark, let's punt, grab a hotel close by, repair the bikes in the parking lot.
So was there a lot of, how'd you pronounce it? Pensiones. Pensiones. Is that like one of the, it's not a lot of fluff, just a place to sleep? Or was there some fluff in there?
No, pretty much just a place to sleep. Some were nicer than others. Typically, I mean, you show up, you have to do a shot of Palenka, like there with the innkeeper. I mean, that was, and we got that the first time we checked into this, like.
For the bitches.
We had rented an apartment in Sigitu Marmite, which is where the event actually started. So we fly into Cluj-Napoca, and we'd hired a van, and this van drove us 3.5 hours to the start city, which is on the northern part of Romania. And nice little city, like lots of historic stuff there. Mm-hmm. And we go to check in to this, we're actually in this little cafe, and we're like, we're here for the apartment. And the girl's like just nodding her head, and she pulls out shot glasses and pours this stuff out, and you have to do a shot of their Palenka. And then she's like, here's your case.
God.
And it was virtually every pensione we stared at. That was the tradition. That was just a.
So what's the landscape like there? I mean, you know, and I mentioned Tour de France. I've been watching that. I really love watching the Tour de France. I love it for the biking. I love it for, you know, the competition, but I also love it for the scenery. You know, I don't know what channel it's on, outdoor channel, but they do a lot of great photography with that helicopter. The castles, a lot of that, those old cities. What's it like up there? Is there castles? Is there castles?
Citadels, you know, old villages.
Do you like that kind of stuff?
It's the first time I've ever seen it.
Yeah.
It was wild. Yes. And it's not like, so here, if you go to a historic site and realize our historic sites here in the US are, you know, at best 200-300 years old.
At best.
You know, whereas you go back to the 1400s or earlier.
1100s.
Over there. Yes.
And they're built with these huge blocks and it's just phenomenal.
Ridiculous. One of the ones we went to in the city of Deva had a 1,200 steps to get to it.
Mm.
So, of course, I raced a buddy of mine up to the top of them because, you know, we're a special kind of dumb.
Well, what's that commercial for the new Range Rover where he goes up 999 steps?
Right. So it wouldn't quite make it all the way up to the top there.
And he gets to the top. He's like, yes! Like, dude, you're in a Range Rover.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be serious.
Get out. Now, I started cramping about 3/4 of the way up. You know, it was... Yeah, but it's really cool because, so here's all this history there.
And I love history.
It's just hands-on.
Yep.
So the only time something was really roped off is if there was a display of some artifacts or something like that. We went to one
Ark
of the castles.
Ark of the Covenant.
Yeah. Yeah, so they've got like the little red rope around. Oh, you can't go up here and touch the dinner table.
Right.
But you can explore the rest of it. And then I'm like, oh, here's this door. Where does this door go? I have to like slam my head because it was, you know, too short of an opening. And it winds down and goes someplace else.
Labyrinth.
And here's the dungeon. Here's this. Here's that. You know, it was really wild. It was really cool. And I took some pictures, but it was really hard. You know, I realized a few days into it, like I'll take pictures of some of the bananas stuff or some of the scenery, but it doesn't do it justice. I mean, I don't think it ever does.
Well, I don't know if it's justice or the fact is that you're just so humbled sometimes by at the moment when you experience stuff, whether it's the adventure, the fear you're working through, whatever it is, it humbles you to a point where you're like, everything is amazing. And then you take a picture of it and you're like, see? And they're like,
yeah, that doesn't look like anything.
Bush.
Yeah,
and you're like, oh my God, it was amazing. You know?
Yeah.
So I totally get that.
Yeah.
That's real. I mean, so the first day you start off, and you just go as far as you can go, or is there like some places you can pick to stop at, or it's just free for all?
It's a free for all.
They say start here.
They're
and
like,
then you. I'll see you so, here in
so
7 days.
The day before launch, so the Saturday before is test days. So you come out and you get access to these little bikes. You ride them around. You know, is everything okay with them?
Can we describe the bike? Can I try?
Yes.
So it's. I started to. It's like a mini bike, but it has a big gas tank on it. I mean, how much gas does the tank hold?
8.5 liters. I know.
What's it?
Math.
Oh, so that's 3.2 gallons. No, I don't know. But it looks like it holds definitely, I would say, 3 gallons of gas?
2 to 3, yeah.
2 to 3. I mean,
I'd have to do the math, and you would think spending all that time over there. I was like, oh, let's throw another, you know, you convert so fast. You're like, oh, let's put another liter of gas in them today.
Listen, I appreciate you coming to do the podcast. I'm not going to have you do math. But I will say it's an oversized tank. With these,
yes.
So, and then it's got a little seat and these wheelbarrow wheels, but they're kind of knobby.
Oh, they are knobby. Yeah
they're totally
warm
knobby.
Down. Yes.
And, you look ridiculous kind of on it.
No disrespect. I mean, I almost weigh as much as the bike does.
Right.
And yeah, those things are, I mean, at one point, one of the ascents was so steep that we got off the bikes, had them pinned in first gear just to walk beside them to get them up the hill. They're so underpowered.
Did you guys as a group become closer? Like, was this a real cool moment for you guys as a group? Like, is this something you'll like always be?
Yes. Yeah. No. And we've already started talking about, okay, what are we doing next year?
Mm-hmm. Did you wear helmets?
Yes. The entire time.
And I'm proud of you.
Yeah. You know, and you know my history with motorcycle stuff.
I do.
So, you know, I've lost 2 friends now and I'm like, nope, I'm going to have a helmet on the entire time.
Yeah. That's...
You know, it was, and that actually, I had to go through some of the baggage from that too. Because, you know, the last time I went ripping around turns and playing and stuff like that was with the two guys who are no longer here.
Yeah.
And, so that kind of struck me coming back down that mountain pass, like that one, the Transfogarashan was that.
Transfogarashan.
Yes. Yeah. We were like.
I got that one first time.
Trans fucking grooving. You know, it took like 90 times for us to get it right.
Now I'm going to have to check the explicit.
I'm so sorry.
I'm kidding. I'm not going to. I never do.
So yeah, bombing down that, you know, we'd gotten to something and. At the bottom, and I was just in a mood, you know. My buddy Aaron's like, "Are you mad? Are you okay? Like something wrong?" And I was like, "Yeah, man, I'm just processing.
I'm working."
Yeah, you know, just a lot
of. Is that a close friend?
Who's that?
The one you lost. The two guys you lost.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, one was in an accident at the track where we were the first. So it was 3 of us.
Was that like in
2011?
Yeah. That's when I opened the hair salon.
Yeah. November, 2011.
I remember that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of those things you never forget. You know, we're all expert riders out there instructing and, you know, geared up every bit of safety, preaching safety, teaching safety. And then shit just goes sideways and somebody goes headfirst into a steel wall.
That is like, it's so weird when we lose people like that.
Well, and then the other guy, like I said, there was 3 of us. So that was Mike. And then there was Chris. And 2 years later, Chris is walking around his house, slips, hits his head, gone.
So not even on a motorcycle.
Not even on a motorcycle. But it's just one of those things where, you know, it's, I guess the lesson or what I took from it is that when it's your time, it's your time.
Yeah.
You know, you can play it safe. You can not go to Europe. You cannot do the dumb things. But
going down the hill without a helmet might be the dumb thing.
Right.
I don't think going to Europe is a dumb thing.
No.
That's pretty sweet is really what that was.
But, you know, it's a lesson in not constantly playing it conservative. mm-hmm. because there's so much out there and there's so many things that you can do that I think, you know, all too often people kind of, oh, I could never do that. Right. You know, that's like too scary. That's too dangerous. Yeah, exactly. The firefighting thing, right. You know, that was, man, there was some, ooh, I don't know. This is kind of, and look at it.
Well, and you know, it wasn't much longer after your second friend passed away that, you know, we lost Matt on a motorcycle. And one of the big reasons that I bought a motorcycle is because I used to ride around with Matt. You know, we'd go for rides and it didn't take long to figure out we live in a terrible town for motorcycles.
Yes.
If it's nice enough to ride, it's too crowded with people. It's just not safe. And if there's not a lot of people, it's too cold to ride a motorcycle. But I had it and we used to ride. And then when he passed away on a motorcycle, I was like, you know what? I rode it a little longer. And every time I parked it, I felt like, you know, I just escaped death one more time. And I'm like, you know, I got kids, a lot of people thinking, you know, relying on me. I sold it.
Yeah.
And I don't regret it.
Man, I hear you. I mean, my last, I had a Ducati Scrambler that I picked up and I had it a year. I put 100 miles on it.
Yeah.
I'm not comfortable out here in this traffic. You know, I've been on the other end now with the whole emergency services thing to see kind of what happens and how people act. And
I do believe you can ride a motorcycle safely in this town. I do believe that you don't have to get in an accident.
I agree.
There's a lot of people that get in accidents around here, but they're doing stuff that's totally stupid.
Well, but at the same time, people legitimately just aren't paying attention anymore. Like the attention span is just...
Well, you know, if you're going to go 100 miles an hour, you're definitely increasing your chances of getting yourself vaporized. I mean, my niece Lily got hit. Do you remember? I don't know if you remember that. It was a while back, but a guy hit the side of my mother-in-law's car with Lily in the back at 120 miles an hour.
Yeah.
He clearly died. And I remember, and Lily is, you know, thank God she's come a long way, but she still struggles with walking and stuff. She's not right completely. She's great considering, but she's, you know, it's not the old Lily. There's a new kind of fun Lily, but that was, you know, and then I remember when it happened and all the people were commenting, another dumb Delaware driver not paying attention to motorcycles. And I'm like, if you're going to go 120 miles an hour on a motorcycle, you're pretty much saying,
yeah, well, you know, there's a place and a time for that, and it's, you know.
On the track.
Yeah, it's on the track.
And that's, you know, and your friend. I mean, it didn't mean, just because you're on the track, that don't save you all the time either.
Now, granted, on the track, it was few and far between, you know, rare. You know, I think in 6 or 7 years, it was the second death.
Yeah.
You know, which statistically, given how many laps, how many miles, how many different racetracks, how many riders we had, you're still.
What's the Isle? You know, is it the Isle of Wight?
Isle of Man.
That is some crazy shit.
That is. I've got some friends that have done that, and they're, you know, again, everybody's risk tolerance is different.
I mean, that's a whole nother level of basically lacking any fear of anything.
Yeah.
Because that, just the wobbling when they come over those hills, I mean, I'd be like, pull it over, I'm done. That was a lot of wobbling.
Right.
That's scary.
But you're right. I mean, everybody's risk tolerance is different, you know. You know, mine was kind of fluid as we were over in Romania because...
Well, you got other people now in your life.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and so does everybody else that I was over there with. So we tended to use our heads for the most part.
And I can't imagine you went over there to be daredevils. I think it was probably, that's why I kind of was mentioning that in the beginning. It was just like a growth kind of thing, individually as a group, you know, old friends, where you just kind of, you know, like one of those fun movies where everybody
exactly. It was like the guy's Euro trip.
Yeah, it's not, we're not here to ride wheelies. We're here just to like laugh and
I don't
enjoy
think
ourselves.
It's physically possible to ride wheelies on those things.
Well, if it was, you'd probably figure out how to do it.
I mean, it would pop up a little bit if you were going uphill because it was so weighted in the back. But it was, we went quick, but I will say, you know, having been over there and seeing how the pedestrians and the drivers over there treated us and treated cyclists and pedestrians, now I kind of understand why some of the Eastern European kids come over here to work and get hit.
Well, I wanted to talk about that a little bit because I went to Norway. I know it's not Bulgaria, but it's, you know,
Europe. Yeah.
And it's a lot different over there. You know, it's they work hand side by side, the biker people on bikes and cars, and actually a lot less cars, a lot more bikes. You know, it's not affordable really. At least when I was in Norway, you know, if you were to get a car like a young family, maybe a 1.8 liter
mm-hmm.
car, which is a small little car. Maybe you know, as you get older in your 50s, maybe you might get a 2.0 liter car. And then, you know, as an adult, when you've achieved some whatever success in life financially, maybe a 2.2 liter.
Or a 3.0.
Or a 3.
Whoa.
But you know what I'm saying.
I saw it over there.
And, you know, it's a little car.
Yeah.
It's a little wagon.
Yeah, there were no massive SUVs anywhere.
No.
None. And it was, you know, marked crosswalks. Somebody started coming across that. It could be a semi coming down the road. They stop.
Yeah.
Everybody waits. Or us as a conga line of these little ridiculous clown bikes, they would wait until we wave them through or they saw they had enough room to pass.
I was talking to Carlos the other day and he was telling me that he almost wiped out a kid. Now, he was coming out and the kid was going the wrong way down the side of the road against traffic. I don't mm-hmm. know if it was on the sidewalk or if he was in the bus lane, but he was coming the opposite way. And he was pulling out and looking left to see, you know, for scooters.
Right.
Because a few years back where a couple of people got whacked riding their scooters in the bus lane and then people turning in front
yes.
of them. So yeah. I think a few people learned that lesson. But this, he was looking left because of, you know, probably.
Here's traffic coming up. Am I clear to pull out?
And I look now, you know, left on the sidewalk, left in the bus lane, left on the regular lanes. And as he turned right, this guy on a bike went zoom right by him. Like if he had just not looked, he would have been right in front of him.
Yeah.
So, and I'm sure he was a European kid. So there's still that wildness.
Yeah,
you guys seeing a lot of bike accidents this summer?
Because
there was a real campaign to put the message out. Helmets.
No more than usual.
No more than usual.
Actually, you know what? It might be down. I don't know statistically. I just know what I've responded to, and there seem to be less this year than they have been in the past couple of years.
Well, yeah. I think the state police and the state and the town have really tried to make the message, you know, about. And I guess they give out free helmets. You'll see a couple of days where they're out, you know, pulling people over on bicycles. They'll set up like a little tent, you know, and really try to educate these kids on wearing a helmet and, you know, I guess the best way. I would probably get hit because I'm not even sure I know the best. I ride against traffic so I can see who's going to hit me. I run against traffic and I ride against traffic.
Right, right. I run against traffic. I do ride with traffic. But I don't bike that often. I mean, I'll go out on the trails.
That's what I do.
Yeah. The trails are fun. And you've got such quick access to them.
Yeah.
I mean, that stuff is gorgeous to just go out and go for a run or a
ride. I haven't been
on
any of the new ones though. Have you?
Last night.
Where'd you go?
Picked it up on Miners Conway Road, rode all the way down into Lewis for dinner and then went home.
They are nice. I wish they would, cause it looks like they're all asphalt now.
Yeah, they are.
I wish they would put asphalt on my trail.
I actually like your trail better.
The crush run?
Yeah.
Crush and run?
Yeah, it's a little bit softer, you know, okay. for running.
Okay.
You know, versus running on asphalt, but.
I agree. Well, I kind of agree, but yeah. I was like, well, how come, what's going on?
Yeah.
Well, and I saw an article that, and I was a little confused because I was going, like, my wife's parents live kind of back off of Hudson, and there's a place where you cross, and it almost looks like they have it set up, but it almost looks like you have a stop sign for this trail. And I think it's just the sign's not completely turned, but I'm like, you can't stop at every trail. I mean, it's the bikers.
No, I think it is. Every intersection that we came across yesterday, it was stopping for the bikers.
Bikers.
Yes.
And there's a yield. It says yield for people crossing, so yeah. Waiting.
Yeah. So I guess the rule is that if, you know, in the marked crosswalks, like crossing Savannah Road when we got down there, if you're off the bike and walking it, the motorists have to yield to you. If you're biking, then you have to, you know, wait on them.
That makes sense because then you're just a pedestrian walking.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool. I love all the bike trails that we have. I wish that they almost, because you can't ride a scooter on there.
No.
And I was thinking when I was saying,
you can't get one of those like e-bikes. I saw one yesterday. I was like, hey, that's cheating. That's cheating.
Well, there's a lot of e-bikes.
Yes.
And I have a good friend that tells me he rides a scooter on them. I know. He's,
yeah.
When I had my scooter, because I used to have, yep. I had a great little scooter. I used to, every once in a while, I would sneak down, you know, if traffic was really bad.
Right.
I'd make some moves, but, you know, very that's, paranoid about doing that. And I don't suggest anybody does that. But I see them blacktopping everything, and then I'm thinking, well, why can't they just put a little scooter side, a little area for scooters? I mean, wouldn't that get free up a lot of these scooters along the highway?
I don't know. I'm not a big fan of scooters on the highway, especially with them ripping down the bus lanes.
No, that is a freaking...
Because it's just... Yeah, the speed differential between them and the cars is just too severe. So, you know, if I'm in traffic and I'm, you know, I'm moving kind of slowly and I'm coming up to the right turn lane to turn off onto Old Landing Road, you know, and I check and I'm clear, you know, am I going to see a scooter that's, you know, an eighth of a mile back from me that's cruising at 50 miles an hour or 60 miles an hour coming down the sideway or coming down the shoulder?
Yeah. I see. You know. I mean, you really have to plan out what you're doing as you're driving around this time of year, because it's with scooters. I mean, you'll be driving, and then the bus, you know, the bus gets behind these scooters, and then it's a whole thing because they can't get
the bus can't get past.
Can't get past. Know?
Or you come up to a light. Now the bus is blocking the intersection,
mm-hmm.
So you can't turn. So it's just a mess.
Were you here for the 4th of July?
No, I was in Romania.
We went and saw the fireworks. What a great job they do now with that busing taking you into the 4th of July for the fireworks. Did you try it last year?
I was on a standby crew last year.
Yeah, because we actually sat there and chatted with the people at the fire department. Because my brother-in-law, Christine's brother, Timmy, he is a New Rochelle fire. He just became the new driver of the truck.
Okay.
Aren't you the driver of the truck?
No, I can occasionally drive the truck, but there's other people for that. Well, like more seasoned.
He's worked his way up, and now he drives the truck. And so we were kind of chatting with the, because actually Teresa wanted a fire hat.
Right. And we do have them there.
Yeah. And then I was like, I don't remember seeing Ryan. I wonder where Ryan was.
So usually 4th of July stuff, I try to stay out at station 2 on the highway, because the in-town stuff is just there to cover in-town. And up to the canal bridge, and station 2 responds to everything else. Okay. So I'm like, if we have anything, I want to be in the truck that actually goes and
does something.
Yeah.
Well, my point was is that they've done a really great job with that DART bus, getting people in. We tried it last year. It was so smooth. We did it this year. A little longer wait. I guess it's becoming a little more popular.
Well, no. So the problem this year was that it was a weekday. It's not like they could pull DART buses from up north that were out of service on the weekend. So they had to wait till the close of business, till those routes were done, to then get the buses down here.
I didn't have any problem.
No, and I'm not saying there was any problem, but it was the supply of buses was less this year.
So when we went, we caught, yeah, maybe. Well, yeah. It looked like there was a lot more people this time, because when we went about 5:45 last year, not many cars, and we went to the one by Lowe's, not many cars in the parking lot, got right down. This year, we same time, about 5:45, packed. The parking lot was full, and it was a lot more people, but we maybe waited 30 minutes to get on a bus.
That's not bad.
Under that wavy roof,
yeah.
You know, it was terrific. And
what was the weather like here?
Beautiful.
Was it?
Oh,
okay.
My God, it was spectacular.
It was.
I think we've had amazing weather this summer.
It was sweltering over there. That was it was, you know what, because we were up in the mountain, it was a bit cooler.
Well, I mean, it was hot.
Yeah.
It was definitely, I wouldn't say sweltering, but it was definitely hot. I mean, 90s.
Okay.
But we got in, and then afterwards, we kind of headed a little bit early, you know, mm-hmm. Let's go.
It's like, a race. Let's go.
I got a Rolling Stones concert. Let's get out of here. But so we got down to the buses, and there was probably 5 buses along, you know, because they shut down the whole, there was nobody parked down there.
No.
They pretty much eliminated that. And so there was probably 5 buses along the sidewalk headed towards, you know, headed north. And then there was 5 coming up the other way for the Rehoboth parking ride. And these were all for Lewis. We got on and go, geez, these, these people are going to be waiting because these buses, it's going to take a while to get back. And as we're driving off, all of Columbia was lined with buses. I mean, mm-hmm. they had a lot of buses. Yeah. So
So again, so they were done with the other route, so they were able to pull stuff down.
Well, and then I think they used the buses this year for Lewis.
Yes.
Which is a night.
Which was way better than what they did last year.
Well, last year they allowed people to park everywhere. That was a big mistake.
Yeah.
And then,
what was it, 3 hours to get out of the state park last year?
I don't know.
Bad.
Well, and then they got in a fight. There was a fight, and you know...
It's always a fight.
No offense.
There's got to be some guy.
No offense to Lewis cops, but, you know, they love a good fight. So they shut everything down. Yeah, they shut the whole town down, had to quarantine the fight. And then that was, you know, whatever. They learned, I guess. They figured it out. But I've only heard great things about the fireworks in Lewis this year. But, so, yeah, they blocked off the side of the road so the buses, I guess, can get in. Mm-hmm. It's great service. I mean, and then we got back on the bus and we were home 10:45.
And I think next year the fireworks are on a Friday, if I remember the discussion correctly. So that should be interesting.
Yeah. In a good way or bad?
I don't know. I mean, so you're going to take the amount of traffic coming into the town on a Friday regularly, mm-hmm. And then we're going to add fireworks to it. So it's always a challenge, you know, it's interesting to see just from a logistics perspective, like how they sort all this stuff out.
Well, I think they just shut the town down at 6:00. Can't go in.
Right.
You can go out, but you can't come in. And there's no parking. They lock, you know, before they used to be able to park over by the Henlopen, and there's no parking there now. That's all bus. You know, the route that goes in on those buses is a little interesting. You know, you take that side road off this to the right of the bridge going over into Dewey.
Yes. And then you go to the right and it comes around.
No, you go left under the bridge.
Yes.
And then you come back up through the parking lot by CrossFit. And then you make a right by the YMCA.
Oh, is that what they were doing? Oh, wow. Okay.
Well, and I'm like, well, what the fuck is this route? But I saw it, the bus never stops.
Okay.
You know, like if you were going to come down Route 1 and then try to cross over by the Y, the bus would have to stop and wait for traffic coming down. This way, when they stay to the right and then go under the bridge, the bus never really stops.
No, but I was thinking if they go down, go over the bridge, go to the right there, and then that just brings them up the back way.
Around the back, like if you're going to go over to the elementary school.
Yeah.
They didn't ask me. I would have told them that myself. I thought that's what we were going to do.
That's my secret route into Rehoboth now. Like, everybody's all crammed up, and I'm like, nope, I'm heading down over the bridge.
Me and you are now the board of directions.
Yes.
I like that. But, yeah, it was great. I mean, it's nice because, honestly, I've lived here a while, and I've never gone to the fireworks because of the traffic and just the nightmare of... There was a time it was a real shit show.
Yeah. You know, we used to go see fireworks up at Slaughter Beach.
Okay.
Was a pretty cool event up there. Their fire company put it on. So you just park right there, you walk out onto the beach and have a seat, and then there was the show.
Mm-hmm.
And they stopped doing that a few years back.
Well, somebody wanted to make some money.
Well, I guess and they had a boot out there, and they were just taking donations for the fire company.
Right.
For it. So,
the fire company was involved.
Yes.
Oh, well, that's cool.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of what they did in Lewis. Or the homeowners, or there was a group of folks that lived down in Lewis that would buy fireworks and shoot them off, and it was just for those that...
I was involved in that.
You were involved in that, too. Yeah. And then I guess somehow somebody wanted... Then they outlawed it.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, next thing you know, Lewis is putting on fireworks.
Yeah. Which, I mean, honestly, which is the smarter way to do things.
Yeah.
Because I know there was a group of us, and I won't mention the ring later, who, and this was years back, would just go to Elkton and get fireworks and, mm-hmm. you know.
Well, and then when it was done like that, not many people went to Lewis to watch the fireworks.
No.
Then it became official and then it became, you know, a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is much better for the town.
Well, somebody also posted, you know, a lot of people walked in and a lot of people rode bikes in on the trails.
Yeah. The trail, I think, was the way to go. Especially having been on it. So it takes from Minos Conway to get down there, like at an easy pace. I was on a mountain bike, so you can't go particularly fast.
Right.
Was like 30, 35 minutes.
It's not bad.
No, which is not terrible.
It's not hills or anything. It's just flat ride.
Yeah. If I had a road bike or my track bike, then considerably quicker.
The Tour de Rehoboth.
Yeah.
Do you watch the Tour de France?
I don't. I don't actually have cable to watch TV.
Oh,
I have like Netflix and
I feel bad. I feel like a loser now.
No, I'm just, I was like, we work so much. I'm like, I'm not a big TV person.
I'm not a big TV person, but I love TV. I lay in bed at night and I watch TV before bed.
That's
I get up early at the Tour de France starts at 8:30 in the morning. I love TV. I'm not gonna feel bad about that, but I don't spend a whole lot of time. But I will say we binge watched a little bit of Stranger Things this week.
Have you finished it?
So this is how much I love TV. We are on the fifth episode of the first season.
Wow. Okay.
Where are you, Ryan?
I have finished season 3.
Aha!
Uh-huh.
It's official. You do like TV.
I do like select Netflix shows, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I don't feel so
Or Prime. We've got some stuff that we watch on Prime.
Well, I will tell you that I didn't have cable to watch the Tour de France, but I had Wi-Fi. And I watched,
you found it that
I watched
way.
The hell out of some right. TV back. Because I said, I'm not paying anymore for this cable. I've had it.
Yeah.
And I got rid of cable, and then I got the Wi-Fi, and I was like, oh, my God, look at all this great TV.
That's what we did. And then you can selectively activate channels, like when Game of Thrones was on. I was like, oh, okay, let's do HBO for a few months so we can watch this.
You know what our one show that we love A&E. So if we could just have Wi-Fi and A&E, we would probably be fine because we love watching Live PD.
I've never seen it.
And Live Rescue. Live Rescue would be something you'd like. Well, because it's all... You remember Cops back in the day? Cops?
Yeah.
Did you ever like Cops?
I did like Cops.
Loved Cops. I taped that in Saturday Night Live, but, it was three little episodes, three little segments.
Yep.
Now it's for 2 hours.
Wow.
And they're following 30 cops, 10 cities. I mean, it's a great show. And now they have a Live Rescue version of it, which is just following, Salinas, California.
Right.
Louisiana, Santa Fe, New Mexico. There's a whole bunch of towns they follow. I don't know why.
That's interesting, and I do like watching stuff like that because it's interesting to see how other areas operate in terms of emergency services compared to us.
One of the things that I feel like, this is weird, you can tell me if this is crazy, but I almost feel like there's a quota for ambulance people. All right, come on, let's get in the ambulance. I don't want to go. Come on, you'll be fine. Come on, let's just get you in there. Just get them in there. Let's get them in. They need almost, not here. I'm not saying that's where, but that's what it feels like in Salinas, California. They just want to get them in the stretcher. Get them in.
Well, get them to the hospital, make sure they're okay, because then they're, I don't know, maybe it's okay here. We've handed them off to someone else. We're sure that they're good, versus a patient refusal.
Right. Well, it was funny. This guy hit the curb on a scooter. He was three times the legal limit. I always call them liquor cycles.
Right.
Because you get your DUI, and then you get to 49 cc's where there really is no rule.
Right.
Do you deal with do you have a lot of people crashing on these things drunk?
So if it's single vehicle, a lot of times it'll just go to the PD, and we don't get dispatched for it.
Okay.
If it's multiple vehicle, then usually we get hit out for it. Depending on if it's a bicyclist or maybe a scooter, then they spool everything up and then we back it down. So they're like, we need the paramedics here. We need the helicopter here. And then now the person's okay. They just scuffed their knee. They did this, cancel the helicopter, cancel the medics.
It is sometimes funny. I'll be working and all of a sudden I'll see, I'll hear coming down the big fire, the ladder truck will pull into to Painter's Mill, and then another truck, and then an ambulance, and then four more trucks. And then they all of a sudden, they quietly leave.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so it's always better to have too much help than to be like, oh, man, I don't have enough people. Here's the job at hand. So while the night before I was leaving for Romania, we got dispatched to an automatic fire alarm down in Rehoboth. And, automatic alarms are, smells and bells. It goes off and everybody's like, oh, it's nothing. It's somebody forgot to replace the batteries. They forgot to do this. So I preach the opposite. I'm like, treat every call as if it's the real one.
Right.
Make sure you respond quickly. Make sure you've got all of your stuff on. You're ready to go. You've got a plan of action. This is what's going to happen. So the reason being is that, so this alarm comes in, just automatic fire alarm. And they get there and they're like, there's really nothing evident. They did a 360 of the building. It's okay. Then the neighbor's like, I see fire through the second floor window.
Ooh.
And the house was actually on fire.
Ooh.
Yep.
So you guys
They put it out. Yeah, they, nice. They did it. But that's what the alarms do, you know? Right. So, yeah, 99% of them are going to be false alarms or, you know, contractors in there sanding drywall and the drywall dust gets in the smoke detector and sets that off. Or
oh, that can happen?
That can happen. Oh, yeah.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
You know what I don't have is a, is it a CO2?
CO detector, carbon monoxide. Yes, CO2 get one.
I know. I need to.
Do you have propane appliances?
I have a gas stove.
Yep. So get it.
It's you can't even smell it, right?
Water heater.
I think it's electric.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
So we had a call, it had to have been like 6 or 7 months ago in Henlopen Avenue. Got there in like nice little old house in there. And, the chief walks through the door with the gas meter that'll pick up carbon monoxide, and the thing's reading 82 parts per million, which is bad. Mm. And he calls in on the radio. He's like, I need two guys with packs on ready to go in to figure out what it was. So a contractor had come and was working on one of the tankless water heaters and
Renai, yep, kind of thing,
cut the exhaust pipe.
Oh shit.
Didn't reconnect it. So the entire time this thing's burning, it's just venting carbon monoxide into this utility closet and then out through the rest of the house.
And that's how houses explode.
Well, it's not. No, no. So carbon monoxide is not explosive. It's, oh, it's poisonous.
Right.
Because it gets absorbed into your system. And there's this whole chart that, you know, at 10 parts per million, it does this. At 50 parts per million. And it scales all the way up to, like, you're just going to die.
Yeah.
So
and it's odorless, right?
It is odorless. Yeah, you can't detect it.
See, that shit freaks me out.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of the things where one of our trainers at the gym moved into a new apartment and started getting headaches, and I'm like, "Do you have a carbon monoxide detector?" Because that's one of the symptoms. You may be sleeping there overnight. Maybe it's not much. Maybe it's like, you know, 25 parts per million or something, but enough to cause a physical effect.
So, and those things actually, I think you can just plug them into the wall, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you can get the little wall ones. So as part of this whole house renovation we just did, I replaced all of our hardwired smoke detectors with new ones that had
CO2 in them as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, and it actually tells you. It's audible. It's like carbon monoxide detected, you know.
Do you think, should you have those, like, because I would think if I'm going to have, well, I'm also thinking about, like, when your propane or your heat, your gas leaks as well.
Mm-hmm.
Does that pick that up as well, or is that a different sensor?
No, that's a different, so... that's a different gas. So that you can smell. So the propane stuff, they put an odorant in there, which is super strong.
Smells like garlic.
Yeah. And you can smell that.
Okay.
But just, you know, the stove running or something like that. Yeah, that'll build up carbon.
I just saw a big old house that blew up the other day on the news.
Could have been propane.
Was it? Maybe it was. I mean,
yeah,
propane blew up.
Propane is explosive.
I mean, to dust. I mean, like, yeah, it was.
Yeah, we had a call 4 or 5 years ago. The propane tank out back, it went up like a rocket.
Mm.
So, yeah, propane is some nasty stuff if you get it with fire. Yeah. Yeah,
I don't.
Carbon monoxide is just bad for
you.
Well,
I need to get one of those because we saw this, and I think probably on live PD or something, and I think my wife and I both looked at each other, or she looked at me and goes, do we have one of those? I go, I don't think so.
No. Now, the other one is, so I did this, again, as part of this renovation, is I put a smoke detector in the attic and a smoke detector in the crawl space.
Wow.
So crawl space, you know, you've got air handlers and things like that underneath there. I have a dehumidifier. If something were to catch fire underneath there, do I want to detect it then, or do I want to wait till it comes up and it's up into the first floor? You know,
I would say then.
Yeah, let's catch it then.
So do you guys do? I mean, I guess you're always preaching that, right?
Yeah.
But do we ever have like a month, like fire safety month?
Or? October. Yeah, fire prevention month. I mean, it's mostly geared towards kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, safety stuff. Like, what's your escape route?
Well, that's a great idea because, you know, it's funny what kids know and kids learn and yes, kids don't mind telling you.
Yeah.
Daddy.
We do
Daddy, you need a smoke detector.
Yeah.
Daddy, we need this.
Yeah, or where do we meet when I go out to the yard? You know? Hey, the house is on fire, what do I do?
That's my Teresa, man. She's always needs a plan. She's got some, you know, so
it's good to have a plan.
Yeah.
You know.
It is good to have a plan because, you know, when that stuff kind of goes on, it becomes crazy.
You know, it's And you talk about having a plan and being practiced with it. So we've worked with Beebe's Health Campus, the medical arts building, mm-hmm. where they've got like the bariatric chambers. I think that's what they're called, like yeah. the big oxygen chambers.
Yep.
So we've worked with them
like
for
burns and stuff.
Yeah, 2 years now on evacuation stuff, and have gone there while they're doing drills and given them feedback and adapted stuff. You know, as they're using these stretchers to get people downstairs, like sliding them downstairs, like how to connect the ropes and do that sort of thing. So that staff trains mm-hmm. on this. So about a month ago, there was I guess it was a water heater went up. So there's a short spark smoke a little bit, and it went through the ventilation system. So they smelled it, pulled one of the pull stations. They smell smoke, evacuated the building, and how quick they got everybody out of there. It was actually really impressive. I saw one of the women that we'd worked with, and I was like, you guys did a really good job getting people out yeah. this time. And she's like, yeah. And then she had told me some of the notes that she had made and seeing how people behaved and how they did this or how they did that, what they could improve upon. And I was like, this is why we practice. So, and ultimately it ended up being nothing, but you know, within minutes they had the building evacuated. So I'm good for them.
You remember, it was probably a few months back, but that plane in Russia crashed or hit hard landing and caught on fire and mm-hmm. like 40 people died in it.
Yeah.
The ones that survived got their carry-on luggage. That turns out to be one of the big problems, is that these people, instead of crashing and getting everybody off the plane, they spent time taking their overhead stuff out.
Yeah.
And it showed the plane just burning on the runway, and all the survivors that are kind of, you know, that walk, carrying their carry-on.
Yeah. Creates like, congestion. Like, no, it's not worth it. Just get out of there.
Forget the stuff.
Yes.
There was Suzanne Summers. You remember Suzanne Summers?
She's, I do.
Her house burned down in Hollywood. And she was on some show, and she goes, you know, nothing gets rid of a junk drawer like a good house fire.
Or a good home remodel. I don't know where our junk from the junk drawer went to, you know.
Well, I have this junk pile, and then I dispersed all the junk from the junk pile into the junk drawers.
Right.
It's like, I don't need this. I haven't looked at it for years, but here I am saving it. I just can't let go of the junk.
No, that is one thing, as we put stuff away now after this big project at home. I'm like, nope, don't need it. Nope, we don't need this. You know, we've not used it.
I have so much screws and wires. Oh, Jesus. I need it.
Well, I'm not touching the garage yet. That is an entirely different thing.
A different level
of
junk.
I've got 8 billion BMW parts sitting in there. So,
you know, start selling them.
For my 20-year-old cars.
Get your daughter, start bagging it up, sell each piece away on eBay just the way you brought it in.
She is too busy working this summer.
I saw her this morning. We went to the gym, me and David.
I did see. Yeah, that's right. I saw you check in.
And
she's bussing tables at Finn's. So
I saw her at the gym.
Yeah, she was
at
there
the gym this morning.
Yeah, she was there briefly. Had to go for a company meeting. Came back. Now she's at work.
We were at the. I'll tell you the story, and I hope it doesn't upset anybody. But we were at the gym. I don't know. It must have been. I don't know. It was just the other morning, and it was early. And this guy was in there with this bar with these big weights on it, and he was like clean and jerk. Mm-hmm. Bam, dropping it on the ground. Bam, dropping it on the ground. And me and David were over there. I think it was all three of us, me, David, and Sam, we were working out. And I'm like, and you know, I'm whatever. It's a gym. I'm cool. But here comes Amanda. And she comes over there, and she's on one of those bikes with the, you know, the wind.
Yeah, the assault bikes.
Yeah, and we're like,
just wait for it. Wait for it. Wait for it.
And she got off that bike, and she walked over, and she's like, yo, I don't know. I'm not sure what she said, but that was the end of that. Like, even Amanda was like, I'm tired of that damn racket. It's too early for that shit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just common courtesy. And then depending on where he's doing it, what he's doing it with, like if you're going to drop it from that high, go use one of the lifting platforms, because that's got, you know, rubber cushions on the bottom.
Yeah. And she was nice. I mean, of course. But, you know, Amanda, she's like the general.
Yeah.
She got a.
She is. It's that resting bitch face, man. She comes at you. You're like, oh no, what did I do?
Well, and then she walked back to her bike, and she kind of looked at me, and I was, you know, okay. Took care of that.
Yeah. Yeah,
it was funny. Yeah. I'm going to tell you one more time. We love your gym.
Thank you.
Place. It's just
I love the gym too.
And thank you once again for letting me take my children there. after they reach the age of 8.
Yeah. It's awesome to see them there, you know.
Well, I think I've told you this. You know, I've adjusted my workout to something that works for my 8-year-old, and I've really kind of found a new excitement for going to the gym.
Right.
Because I was in a rut. I don't even know how I got in the rut. Just the other, you know, I'm just lifting, bench pressing, and doing the mm-hmm. same old thing, and injuring the same old way, my shoulder and this different stuff. And, you know, when you allowed me to bring Sam there, I've had to adjust my workout. I've been excited. I'm back to the gym every morning. I'm not running anymore, at least not for a while.
Right.
I may not run again. I don't know. I don't want to lose my cardio.
But it's good for them.
It's good for them.
Yeah, it is. I made Zoe work out with me this morning. She was not happy about it. She's got a mild case of tendonitis in one of her knees, and she's like, oh, my knee hurts. And I'm like, stop. I was like, get up there. I want 5 sets of 10. Yeah. Oh, but it hurt. And I'm like, that's fine. I was like, you know, my back hurts. My shoulder hurts. Like, just deal with it. I'm like, it is not going to get any better by just babying it. You've been told this by the doctor. Like, here's your PT exercises. This is what you need to be doing. We need to strengthen this in order to fix it. You've got these goals and aspirations of making the Raider team again this year for JROTC. It's not going to happen sitting on your rear end watching YouTube on your phone.
You know, it's funny you say that because that kind of happened to my mom. You know, my mom, and your daughter has what, 13, 14? My mom?
15, yeah.
15. My mom's 82. But, you know, she hurt herself. And the doctor said, you know, put your leg up and rest, you know. And she's like, oh, for the month? I don't know. She's just basically right. resting throw, for the rest of her life. Towel. Yeah, and I'm like, Mom, you know, and then she couldn't lift her leg up to get to the, you know, go from the gas to the brake. You know, that's a big muscle that we use.
Yeah.
That. And she, I go, listen, if you want this privilege of driving, because it is a privilege,
mm-hmm.
not many people remember that, but it is still a privilege, you're going to have to work at it. And so she dug in, went to physical therapy, did the work, and now she drives to Bridge. You know, she's not on Route 1.
Right.
Warning.
Right.
But she's, you know, but she fought for it. And, you know, sometimes when we get an injury, it's a great excuse to take it easy.
It is. It is. You know, and I think that all of us are guilty of that.
I'm definitely guilty.
You know, coming back from shoulder surgery for me was, you know, I tried and then just couldn't get into it. And then had a couple months off with being at home, overseeing the house remodel, like working from home every day, didn't get to the gym, and then went right into the trip into Romania. And then, you know what, man, I'll tell you what, I got back and I'm like, it's time.
I got to get back,
jump on the programming, you know.
And just in my short time back at the gym, I feel a lot of, I feel some improvements.
Yeah.
You know, it's a great test for me is that one where you know, I always say this, but you're locked in and you got the ball on your back and you lift your legs up.
Yep.
What's that thing called?
I don't know what it's
for abs,
called.
Working on your abs.
Yeah. It's like a Roman chair, except it's got a Bosu ball on the back.
Which is a great idea because it's here that starts to fail, those mm-hmm. pads and up on your back. So that ball is really awesome. But when I first started working back out, I'm like, oh, I couldn't even lift my legs. And I did it this morning and I'm like pulling them to the side. You know,
you're like, I got this.
I feel strength coming back.
Yeah.
And it's nice because as we get older, I know, especially for me, as I get older, I'm getting older. I mean, I'm like in my 50s.
Yeah. And I'm almost there.
Yeah. But I can still, you know, like I'm getting my dad's skin back here on the back of my arm. It's not there, but like relax.
I get the same. Well, actually mine's the, like I bump into something and I'm like, wait, where did that cut come from?
Did I tear?
Yeah, exactly.
I tore my cellophane skin.
Yes. That's what I get. But it's incredible at how quickly that comes back. So, you know, you make these excuses to kind of stay away from it. And sometimes you need to. So my shoulder, you know, surgery, like 3 months afterwards, I started trying to push and it just was not ready.
Not ready.
Now it's been 5 months. So I can go heavier, go with, you know, and I know kind of the difference between pain and injury. I'm like, okay, that's just uncomfortable today. Today actually was a perfect example. So my programming called for 5 sets of 10 barbell back squats,
mm-hmm.
you know, just volume. Mm-hmm. That's it. I have not done those since December, beginning of January before surgery. I've used like the safety squat bar that you hold out front, but I've not been able to get my arms back, my left arm in particular, back behind the barbell. Mm. And today was the first day where, you know, I've been working on mobility. It's getting there. I've got the strength back. I could actually get in position and do a correct squat. Wasn't super heavy, you know, and it still felt a little off. It was a little awkward. Like I could tell that the bar was kind of rotated a bit up there, but was able to do it. So I'm like, okay, it's just, and it gets better. It's going to get better every week.
How do you, for me, I know, and you mentioned it with your daughter, like, let's go.
Yeah.
Just cut the bullshit. I mean, how do you, because as we get older, you know, we start wanting to preserve our life. We want to preserve the end of our life. We want to be healthier. It's hard to explain that to a 15-year-old who's right in the middle of just the best time of their life. There's no issues, and they can eat whatever. They don't care. It's hard to put our mid-40s, 50s feelings 50s, on a... Because I have an 8-year-old and a 14-year-old.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm like, come on, you got to eat right. And they're like, 14, there's not a problem in my life, you know?
Well, no, and...
Because my kids are skinny. Your daughters, you know, they're skinny. I mean, if that would be even worse if, you know, or not worse, but even harder as a parent to try to explain if your kid is struggling with weight or something like that.
Well, and mine struggles with kind of eating properly. She's like, I'm not hungry. And I'm like, it doesn't matter. You know, like, you can't skip breakfast. You can't do this.
Kids can't.
No. Right. And I don't either. Like, I eat breakfast every day, and I didn't for years. Mm-hmm. But now I'm like, let me properly fuel everything. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't get the whole cardiovascular capacity thing yet.
Well, and you want to still have a relationship with your child. You can't
just be like, you don't get your phone until you go do 5 miles. Right, you know, you can't.
We have to look at that. We have to kind of look back at ourselves when we're kind of getting that way. Cause I can get a little bit like that with get the fuck out of bed, you know, especially summer.
No. And I,
they're chilling.
They are. But at the same time, you know, Amanda and I were talking about that today. Like, you've got to, you know, right now, I mean, we're taking a bit of a harder edge as parents because I'm like, you've explained your goals.
So there was a conversation about goals.
Well, not really.
or you explained her goals.
She's like, I'm going to do Raider this year. Like the competitive fitness team, with JROTC. And she's like, just little things she wants to do, but we're like, okay, you have her knee and my knee still hurts. Mm-hmm. Okay. Here's what needs to happen. The doctor said it, we've said it. But there's still that, it just hurts when I do this. Okay. Look, you're just going to have to suck it up and get through it. Mm. That's it.
Right.
And, you know, like on the way back from downtown Lewis yesterday on the bike trail, she's like, my knee. And I'm like, just keep moving.
Yeah.
I'm like, if you slow down, I will run you over. I'm like,
Ryan.
I was like, I am right behind you because you've got the headlight.
Hot in Bulgaria?
Romania, yes.
Romania, sorry.
Maybe in the Ukraine. It was that radioactive drink we had.
It killed your heart.
Yes.
You have no feelings.
Yeah. But, I get it. You know, I was not, you know, growing up and, you know, even through the vast majority of my adulthood, I was not some fit, didn't watch this. Like I was 140, 145 pounds. I sat and typed at a computer and had a bad back and a bad neck because of it.
That's great. That's exactly what I'm talking about because I was the same way and I'm not going to let my kids do that.
No.
No, that's how do we figure out where to draw the line? You know, how forceful do we want to be? Like, are we creating more issues when they finally leave us? Like, goddamn, dad made me go to the gym. I am never going to that.
Well,
it's like keeping kids from eating sweets. You know, you can't have any sweets. And then you hear the stories as soon as they get some freedom.
All they do is eat sweets.
Sweets town.
Yeah. Or, you know, you can't. Yeah. I don't know, man. I don't know what that line is. And I wish, you know, I wish there was somebody that was like, here's where it is. Mm-hmm. Because it's not as if you're doing it with like malicious intent. Right. I'm like, you know, and I'm looking at her.
But sometimes we're doing it with such great intent that It's hard to, you know, it's hard to pass what we've learned.
It is. It is. Well, but at the same time, and I don't know if you run into this issue. So, and I've got it where she complains about something, mm-hmm. whether it be an appearance issue or a strength issue, or I can't do this, or I'm not the fastest at this. And I'm like, you've got decent genetics mm-hmm. for this. Like mm-hmm. you are never going to be some like tall, skinny supermodel. Like neither your mother nor I have that built. Mm-hmm. Like that's just not in the cards for you genetically.
She could be a shorter supermodel.
She could.
She's a beautiful kid.
But I'm like you give it 4 weeks. Like mm-hmm. if you exercise for 4 weeks, like you'll see dramatic change, you know? So some of these things that maybe you're uncomfortable about personally, like appearance wise or because of this or that, I'm like, you have the power to fix this. So I think that's the hard thing as a parent, and especially when it comes to fitness and nutrition and stuff like that. So you've got a kid that's unhappy with something, and like you know what needs to happen to correct that,
right,
or to fix that. And how do you support and motivate that without being overbearing or pushing them down some into some dark spot that they shouldn't be into?
Well, I know for me, we just try to have a little bit of fun. You know, we keep our workouts a half hour.
Yeah.
We have a simple little workout. I think to me it's more about, what I guess in my mind I'm trying to teach my kids is, like, you know, you can go to the gym. You know, we can stay healthy. My problem is I spent a lot of time working out so I could eat badly. I didn't realize it. You know, and I kind of figured it out. I mean, I guess I knew it.
Right.
But when I started having some problems with my feet, or my foot, really, I was like, you know, I'm running, and now I'm having a problem with my foot. What am I going to do? Because I am going to get fat.
Right.
And so that's when I really took a hard look at how I eat, and you know, that's a whole different thing. But I feel good now. I feel like, you know, I'm not as chiseled up as you, but I feel okay.
Right.
I'm wearing 34s.
Right.
You know, I feel happy. Now I'm like, do I still want to keep running? Because I really was running just not be fat.
Right. So, well, and there's...
But I try to practice that with my kids as far as eating. I feel like that's where it starts, eating. And it sounds like that's what you're doing, the same thing.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we go to the gym. And luckily, we're all pretty thin genetically. We're just skinnier.
I was a chubby little kid.
I was too.
Husky. Remember those?
Oh yeah, you were solid.
Husky pants.
You were sturdy.
Yeah,
but you know, we just try to have fun with it,
right?
You know, but I see, you know, the kids in the mornings are like, you know, I go, are we going to the gym? I don't want to go. I say, fine, later, and I walk out, and then they're like, damn, I should have went.
Yeah, see, we're in the opposite end of this. Legitimately, no interest in going to it. And I'm like, but you've expressed that this is what you want to do. Ergo, like, we're going to fix this because I don't want to deal with the fallout, you know, come September or October when you don't make top three on Raider team for like the running competition or something. Like, no, we've got to get this fixed.
Well, I would be like, maybe you need to adjust your goals.
Yeah.
You know, maybe like, let's just be happy we're involved with the Raider team. I'm not telling
right.
you. I'm saying this may be what I would say to my kids, because I don't want to. I have good kids. You know, we have good kids.
Yeah.
They're pretty freaking good. You know, and I'm thinking, I don't want to make them hate me, you know, because I forced them. But at the same time, I don't want them to also say, hey, you could have pushed me a little more.
Right.
So yeah, it's tough.
That is the tough thing, like the nudge. Like, how much do you nudge?
How much do you nudge? Yeah. Luckily, my kids, you know, they love the iPad, and they work on their thumbs. And
yeah, man, this generation has got the best like finger dexterity ever.
Well, and I don't have a big problem with them playing the iPad. You know, this summer, I'm like, you know, I told David, he's got some summer work. You know, started it the last month of summer.
Mm-hmm.
Start working on it and enjoy yourself, relax.
Yeah.
I don't care. I'm not a big
Now, we, you know, aside from days that she's working, we're like, yeah, you want to stay home, you stay home.
Yeah.
You know, go out paddleboarding, go swim, do whatever you need.
The only people that have an issue with that are people that have an opinion about it.
Right. Well, and everybody's got opinions.
Everyone's got opinions. Well, listen, brother, We've changed the world in an hour and 19 minutes.
Sweet. Oh, longer this time than last time.
Yeah, well, it's and you didn't bring any papers, which I appreciate, because then I felt like we're important.
I had no
facts,
no paperwork, no facts.
So I will,
other than the correct pronunciation,
I will
of
say this:
Bhagavashan.
Are you going to go? Are you really thinking? Are you thinking about doing the bike again next year, or maybe just in a few years down the road with the family?
So we're talking right now, the four of us that did this together. We're discussing a similar event that involves rickshaws in the Himalayas.
Mm.
So
that sounds awesome.
Yeah. It sounds terrifying, but
terrible for whoever's pulling the rickshaw.
Well, I guess we rent rickshaws like two teams of two, and you know, cross all these sketchy mountain passes.
You know, we went to Firefly this year, and I'm always amazed. There must be like a touring group of rickshaw guys, because you know, wherever there's a festival, the rickshaws show up.
Right,
and each rickshaw, you know, he's
things are like $1,000 though. They're
is that a lot?
No, they're cheap.
Well, but the guys at the rickshaw, have you seen?
I've not been to Firefly.
So these aren't just typical rickshaws. I mean, they've got batteries. I think they have electric assistance.
Okay.
But they got like, you know, they
have. Oh, so you're talking the like the pedal driven rickshaw.
No. I'm not talking about the ones that you have under your arms.
No, we're talking the straight up motorized ones.
Yeah. No, these guys are they're pedal, but I think they have some motoring
like
assistance.
Battery assist. Yeah.
Because it's a lot when you got drunk guys in there. You're trying to go up the hill.
Yes. Yeah.
But you know, it's a. I think they just travel along
right
wherever the festivals are.
Yeah. Well, you know, they've got enough festivals that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was reading today. I actually wrote a really interesting article today. Did you see that beer and food sales were down like 38% this year?
Hmm.
At the,
food in general?
Primarily beer at Firefly. Yeah.
Well, $8 for a slice of pizza isn't helping.
No. No, it's not. But. I guess that the takeaway from the article is that they think that it's because it's a younger crowd that they're attempting to pull in there. So they're not necessarily the drinking people.
Well, we went and it was freaking expensive, and I'm okay with it because it was, you know, I call it, it's like going to Rehoboth.
Yeah.
You know, you go and you're going to spend money.
Yeah.
But $8 for a slice. And I will say the pizza was decent. It was $8 for a slice of pizza. It was $7 for a lemonade, but I will tell you this, Ryan, if it wasn't the best delicious lemonade I'd ever had.
I had that in Romania.
It was amazing.
I had entirely too much pizza.
We spent $21 on lemonade. That's three.
I spent $26 on dinner for four of us. The exchange rate is just bonkers.
Well, I didn't get to go. Yeah, first of all, no one invited me. Second of all, go to hell. For not inviting me. But, you know, I can imagine it's very expensive to go to Firefly. I mean, they really, and you know what's funny is I thought that the food up there was put on by local folks, and that's
no. There's something where I guess Grotto's had been there in years past. They didn't get the bid to do the pizza stuff this year, but they did have some farm to table dining experience there that supposedly did really well. I don't know. Didn't go. Hey, just read the article.
I gotta go. I gotta get my teeth cleaned.
All right, man.
Ryan, thanks for coming back on.
Anytime.
Mucho appreciation.
All right.
I just made that up. Bye.
See you.